What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today we're going to be discussing the past two preseason games for the Wizards. I did a pod right after the first two. The game against Toronto on Friday, that was on a weekend. I felt people were going to watch football. I'd rather just recap that game and the game that I'm recording after this against Brooklyn all in one. So lucky you get two Wizards preseason games in one episode. I know you're jumping off the walls for that. So we're going to talk about that. Not much to really introduce here. We're going to get into the Toronto game on Friday. That was a pretty, lopsided win for the Wizards, and then get into the Brooklyn game, which is the complete opposite, a 40-point loss for Washington. Getting into the game against Toronto on Friday, the biggest thing in before the game was the introduction of a new starting group. This is something that I had been calling for, even on my last pod, because if you had looked at the spacing, the shooting, the defense, or the lack thereof of defense, the lack of true shot creators apart from Kuzma and Poole, the starting lineup of old just didn't mesh. It didn't go together. And I'm glad Brian Keefe's used preseason to make a few changes to that group. Namely, he moved Jonas Valanciunas to the bench. He still played. He just came off the bench, and instead started Alex Saar as the center, the lone big man down low. He went with Poole, Koulibaly, Keyshawn George, Kyle Kuzma, and Alex Saar. I mean, Keyshawn George coming off a nice 14-point game really deserved to get a shot to start, and he did, which was nice. It was great to see Kuz move back to the power forward. I mean, he dropped 22. It was easily his best game of the preseason. And I think back to playing power forward really helped him in that role. And then also, namely, you saw the first action of Alex Saar as the lone big man, not having to compete with Valanciunas for any of the touches down low or the rebounds, or the paint protection. It was kind of down to Saar, and those were a couple of things that I liked immediately, from seeing that starting lineup. Look, the game didn't start well for Washington. You had a Brian Keefe timeout, I think 108 into the game, because the team refused to run back on defense. I mean, a big part of that was they can after a 30 turnover game, they came into this one against Toronto, and I think they had 20 turnovers. So nice little improvement from the Wiz there, but still. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. And they weren't running back in transition. And I'm glad that Brian Keefe was like, you know what? We're not doing that tonight. I'm calling a timeout. And from there on out, the transition defense did improve. Did the turnovers improve? Absolutely not. They still had 20 on the night. But I thought the effort level improved. And I'm glad we have a coach now that calls timeout that early, that isn't going to accept or tolerate poor defense, poor transition defense, poor effort, poor hustle. He's going to call a timeout and let it be known that he's not happy, and that's one of the things I liked. But again, it was another slow start for Washington. It was the third straight game where, in the first quarter, they looked like they could get blown out of the water. Started down 11-2, careless passes leading to turnovers. Again, I mentioned poor transition defense. The spacing was bad; just weren't making their shots. I think they had three turnovers in the first 3 minutes of the game. Again, we're down nine early, so not ideal. But the difference between this game and the last couple of games was the fact that they actually made a run. I think it was 12-0. I think at a certain point they brought it to like 16-14 and kind of took over from there. But again, another slow start, which is concerning considering it's been a theme of the preseason. There was a moment in the first quarter that I highlighted on my Twitter that I want to talk about here. I said, Will Dawkins stressed drafting two-way guys in this draft. Bub Carrington can do it on both ends. Alex Saar, arguably the best rim protector in the draft. And Keyshawn George, a great two-way player, 3-and-D wing. And you saw that on full display. I mean, Keyshawn George had two steals and a pair of really good contests when he was guarding Grady Dick. And then also, Alex Saar met Grady Dick at the rim, altered the shot, and got a steal the next possession. So look, like those guys on full display, not even to mention the fact that Bub Carrington literally picks up full court. He's, going step for step with whoever he defends. He's as quick as anybody. And he's just the effort level I've seen from not only Bub, but George and Saar as well. Like, you can tell they genuinely take pride and care about their defense. And that's something you can't really teach. That's something you got to draft. That's something you got to have. And the fact that all three have that, it's pretty easy to tell. Like, Will Dawkins has his type of player. And all three of these guys are that type of player. Bub Carrington had a pretty rough first two games of Summer League. I think he was shooting 21% from the field through the first two games. he had a nice bounce back game, dropped 12 points. He had a nice baseline drive where he kicked it to Bilal, who drained the corner three. Always nice to see, two young players connect on a nice play like that. But I thought he looked more, comfortable. He kind of sunk in a little bit. Wasn't as, sped up as he was. He was playing, slower and to his own pace. I mean, you need that from a guard. You don't want your guards to be sped up, because the defense is on top of them. You want them to ease in and control the pace, not let the other team dictate how fast they play. And I think we saw that out of Bub. So, nice first quarter. The Wiz were down seven at the end, committed 10 turnovers. So, look, they had 10 turnovers in the first quarter, 10 turnovers in the final three quarters. So, definitely cleaned it up a little bit. The only difference is they shot 27%. So 10 turnovers, 27% from the field, and the fact that you're only down 7 points, like that's pretty good. You'll take that. And then into the second quarter, Alex Saar again decided to take over. At this point, he had made six of his first 11 3-point attempts, 54% on the season. I think right now he's up to 7 of 13, which I think is 58%. Don't quote me on that. I'm not that good at math, but I think 58. Yeah, 58%. From three. So look, really strong showing. And then, you look at halftime, Kyle Kuzma had 14 points, and he finished with 22. It was definitely his best game of the preseason. But honestly, if you just look at the box score, you might think that. Actually watching the game, I didn't think he affected winning. And that's been my thing about Kuz for his whole time in DC is like, as this number one guy, I don't think he impacts winning. I think he does the opposite. And look, he's going to get his counting stats. Every year he's been in DC, his points per game, his shots per game, they've gone up, but the wins have continued to go down as that's happened. And I think there's a reason for that. So look, while Kyle Kuzma scored 14 in the first half, he had 22 on the game. I didn't think he played that well. I didn't think the team played too well when he was on the floor. And again, you can look at his stats. You can say, well, Greg, how are you going to say that he dropped 22 points? It's the same reason why Vucevic had 10 points on 4 of 4 field goals. And I told you I thought he was the worst player on the floor. Again, you watch the game, you see how they play defense, you see the effort level, the hustle, the rebounding, and all the other stuff apart from just scoring. And you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. Corey Kispert, again, great. I've said it. Last episode, I'm going to say it again. He's the most consistent wizard, has been the most consistent wizard the last couple of seasons, and continues to be the most consistent wizard. 10 points in the first half. I think he finished with 20 on the game. So, really consistent. I mean, 10 points first half, 10 points second half. Three ball was on, cutting without the ball. Corey Kispert moves the best off ball that I've seen on this team in years. He knows where to be, he knows when to cut, where to cut, how to cut. It's flawless the way he does it. And if only the rest of the team could do it, the off-ball movement would be the best in the league. So really impressed with him. I mean, the first half, Saar at 6 points, made both of his threes. Again, I talked about it already. His three ball being this progressed this early in his career is unbelievable. Nobody thought he would be shooting this well, especially after the summer league he had. But he continues to impress. So again, very good showing. My guy Varun from the Washington Post tweeted this out, and I want to highlight it as well. There was a possession where, and I've seen the clip circulating on Twitter, but I want to talk about it. There was a possession in the game where Alex Saar got switched on to Scottie Barnes on the perimeter. Barnes tried to isolate Saar, and then Saar poked the ball away with his length. And then Barnes, with the shot clock going down, got the ball back and drove to the rim, and that shot was blocked by Saar. So he plucked a ball away from an all-star, maybe all-NBA player, definitely the best player on the Raptors, and then got taken to the rim and blocked Scottie Barnes. Like that's the defensive versatility. That's the exact reason why Alex Saar got drafted number two. And that coupled with he's shooting 56-57% from three on a good sample size through three games is great news for Wizards fans. So they got to be really happy with how he's played so far. Again, I tweeted out star Corey Kispert. Please, I think he'd be a great addition to the starting lineup. Obviously doesn't bring too much in terms of defense, but he's not a liability like he used to be. And the shooting, the spacing, the cutting, it's exactly what the starting group needs. If you put Poole at the one, Corey at the two, Bilal at the three, Kuz at the four, JV or Saar, I prefer Saar at the five. You have shooting, you have defense, you have rim protection, you have size, you have length. I think that's the ideal starting five. And so that's what I would go with. And I mentioned, my starters earlier. That's who I want to start. I don't think that's who's going to start. That's who I think is, they'd like to start. And so at the end of the day, Brian Keefe's going to try out rotations in preseason. He's going to figure out exactly who that starting group's going to be. But if it were up to me, that would be my case. Also, one other thing to note in this game, Keyshawn George had a unbelievable play where he caught the ball on the perimeter, pump faked a pass, got the defender to bite, and then drilled the open three. And then literally the next possession, as the clock went down, drilled the buzzer beater three. So that's 6 points in about 30 seconds with a great fake in between. At that point, he had 9 points, five assists, and four rebounds and three steals, like completely stuffing the stat sheet. I mean, look. This is a stat from before the Brooklyn game. I haven't looked at the stats yet from the Brooklyn game, but what I do know is that after his first three preseason games, Keyshawn George was shooting 63.6%. And that's not from three. That's not from, four or five attempts. That's 11 attempts. Seven of his first 11 threes in preseason he made, which is absolutely incredible. Just a, really impressive stat. And look, I mean, if you want to look at some final stats, I mean, the Wizards ended up winning the game 113-95. Kuz at 22-6, Kispert 20-5. Koulibaly had a really nice game, 13-4. George looked like the steal of the draft. Blood bounced back. Sarr's three balls legit. Kuz and Kispert with 20 balls. A really solid all-around effort and win from the Wizards to get their first preseason victory. Really impressed with the rookies in that game. Koulibaly stepped up, and obviously you had Kuz and Kispert who poured in, a lot of the points. Bob Carrington, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 of 12 from the field, which is a lot more efficient than we'd been seeing. I think he was 1 of 7 in game 1, 1 of 9 in the next game. Definitely a lot better here. Plus 14 as well, so impacting winning, not just doing it offensively, but making sure he holds his own on defense as well, and making sure that the team is doing well during those minutes and it's not just empty stats. So I was really impressed. Definitely the best game that Bob has had in the preseason. And even looking at the Brooklyn game, I thought Bob was solid. But still, I thought he was a lot better against Toronto. And then, I mean, in the middle of that, just a little bit of housekeeping. The Wizards waived Leaky Black and Kira Lewis Jr. They already waived Jalen Noel. So that's the three camp invites, the Exhibit 10 contracts. They ended up basically, yeah, you can come to camp. We're going to waive you. But the thing with the Exhibit 10s, and my guy, shout out my guy Matt Moderno, who tweeted this out. With Exhibit 10 deals, if you sign someone to an Exhibit 10 and waive them, if you sign them back to join the GoGo or your G League affiliate for the Wizards, it's the Capital City GoGo, they get an extra $75,000 bonus. So it's like, here's an Exhibit 10. You can be with us for maybe a game or two for the preseason, summer training camp, and then we're going to waive you because we don't have enough roster spots. But if you decide to come back to the GoGo, not only are you going to get some experience in the G League, but we're gonna give you another $75,000. And I know to like guys like Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, like they're making 30 million. That's not a lot. But like to these guys that are, fighting for roster spots and fighting to stay in the league, $75,000 is a lot of money. And so it's basically like the Wizards saying here, we really want you on our team. Here's an Exhibit 10. We're trying to basically incentivize you to come back. So I would expect all three of those guys, Leaky Black, Kira Lewis Jr., Jalen Noel, to return to the Wizards. At some point, and playing for the Go-Go. You also saw they signed Eric Stevenson, who out of West Virginia played pretty solid in the summer league. They signed him to an Exhibit 10. I'm sure eventually they're gonna waive him if they already haven't, and then he's gonna come back, get that 75K bonus, and play for the Go-Go this year. They also brought back John Butler Jr. and my guy Taylor Funk. Taylor Funk, unbelievable. If you watched any of the summer league, and you would definitely remember he dropped 29 points on 8 of 16 from 3 against Milwaukee in that Summer League finale. Really good shooter out of Utah State. Really promising stretch big type of player. And they signed him to an Exhibit 10. I'm sure they're going to waive him eventually. He's going to come back with that bonus, and he'll be on the go-go. Similar to John Butler Jr., a 7'1" stretch big, good shooter. A little skinny, so John Butler Jr. needs to add some size, get bigger. But definitely, happy with those moves. I like the potential of both those guys. And they also signed this guy, Muhammadu Gaye. I think that's how you pronounce it. Apologies if not. But I remember watching him at, I think, Washington State he was at. Another big, I think he was on Toronto last year. So, just trying to stack the G League roster with these Exhibit 10s, incentivize these guys to play for them. And hopefully they'll have a pretty solid, G League team to, funnel those guys up to the Wizards eventually when they make some trades and some moves and they have some open roster spots to experiment, you know, maybe find a diamond in the rough like they did with Chris Dunn or, Jordan Goodwin, you know, players like that. So that's kind of the Toronto game and the weekend of the moves. Moving on to tonight, and by the time I'm recording this, it's Monday night. I just finished watching the game against the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, to start, you got to start with the starting five. Bilal Coulibaly missed the game with a left finger sprain. The broadcast said it wasn't that deep. Alex Saar, right calf soreness, also missed the game against Brooklyn. The broadcast said both were kind of injury prevention, you know, resting, things, not too serious. So that's good news, but they did miss the game. So obviously, that's two starters. You got to have some new people in the starting five. The Wizards went with Jordan Poole, Bob Carrington, Corey Kispert, Kyle Kuzma, and Marvin Bagley. So look, Valanciunas also out for rest purposes. But Bagley starting kind of signals to me, if I'm reading it right, that he is slightly above Rashawn Holmes for the backup center role. And I've been on this because Bagley's always kind of been like first into the game, played a little bit more than Holmes. Again, it's not a close battle. I'm not Brian Keefe. I have no idea what he's thinking, but you know, it's got to be a little bit of a head nod to Bagley that he's starting and Holmes isn't. And I thought Marvin Bagley was actually pretty solid. I think he finished with 10 points and 8 rebounds, really active on the glass all night. I thought, you know, he played a solid defensive game, which is out of character. I don't think he's too great of a defender, but I thought he was decent on defense. Cleaned the glass, you know, got 10 points. So, you know, pretty solid showing for Marvin Bagley. Was pretty impressed. And likewise, his counterpart, Rashawn Holmes, was also, you know, pretty good. I thought both those guys rebounded the ball well. I think Holmes had 6 points, 8 rebounds. You know, rebounded well on both ends, were active on the glass. Not both aren't the best rim protectors, but I thought they held their own at least. And excuse me. I thought both kind of put together good enough showings to make me seem like that competition's great, and I think that battle isn't over. I think Bagley might have a slight edge based on the minutes he's been playing, but again, really like the showing from the bigs with Saar and Valanciunas out. Wizards were down 8 at the end of the first quarter. Bub started. I thought he looked great. He drew the pull-up three, grabbed a few rebounds in the first quarter. Looking a lot more confident and comfortable than he had in the first two games, in the first three, realistically. So I thought that was nice to see. Poole, you know, started well. Early minutes from Davis and PBJ. And I kind of mentioned this because, you know, as one of the guys that's been a little bit harder on PBJ, you got to give him compliments where it's due. He had a really nice first quarter. Drilled an open three, got to the rim, made a layup, rebounded the ball, played okay defense. You know, I thought he was solid. Johnny Davis as well, you know, one of my guys. I still hold Johnny Davis stock. Offensively, you know, quiet night. I think he scored. I think maybe he had one free throw. But the defense, and I'm not, I don't know how to clip things, if I'm being honest. So like I can't like clip the things that I'm talking about and put them on Twitter. But like, if you watch this game and if you watch back the full thing, Johnny Davis's defense was very good. Very good. Individually, rotating, for team defense, helping out, playing help D. I thought he was phenomenal on that end of the floor. There was a possession late in the game where he was switched onto, I don't want to get, I think it was Jalen Wilson, possibly. But I mean, he legitimately clamped him. He put him in jail. I mean, you know, whoever it was, dribbled, tried to dribble, you know, beat him off the dribble. Johnny Davis shut that down. Then the ball got pulled out. Johnny poked it away, and then he drove on Johnny to the rim. Johnny blocked him. And that happened, you know, a couple of times where Johnny Davis was just locking down on defense. And so I think we have a little something on our hands with his defense, his versatility there, his quickness, his, you know, the offense obviously isn't great, but I think he's kind of figured the shot out. He mentioned actually to I don't know who he what article it was, I apologize. But he did mention that, I think it was The Athletic actually, that this year he came in, he was like, nobody's touching my shot. I fixed it myself, and I'm coming different this year with my jumper. And he basically said, look, the first 2 years in the league, the second I got in here, we had shooting coaches trying to mess with my shot, trying to, you know, tinker with it, do this, do that. And he said that really messed him up. He said, this year I'm coming in, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not letting anybody touch my shot. And it's paid off. You know, obviously against Brooklyn, he wasn't that great from deep. But the first three games, I thought this the showing, was a lot better offensively, and the defense has always been there. So, if Johnny can figure the shot out and really be this consistent of a defender on that end, I think he has something to offer to this team. I think he's definitely secured a roster spot if anybody thought that was, a possibility of him getting cut. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but I do think he's shown that, look, I can be this really solid defender. If I can figure it out offensively and get my shot going, I think I can find, carve out a role in this team. And I don't think that's too far-fetched to say. So, I thought Johnny Davis was solid. One thing as well, Keyshawn George, we knew he was a great defender. We knew he could shoot the three. His playmaking ability through these first couple games has been really surprising, a pleasant surprise. But, he hit a few really, really nice passes, smart passes against Brooklyn. Jumping in the air and like throwing it with like spin around a defender to an open corner shooter, pocket passes, backdoor passes. He kind of did it all, kind of ran the offense at times. And that's something you love to see from a 19-year-old in year one, the 24th pick, who you thought would come in and be really raw, take some time, be a 3-and-D guy. He's showing you there's a lot more to his game. And so I thought he was really good there. And I thought he's been really good, in all aspects of the game throughout the preseason. So really, again, a nice solid performance from him. Again, I say it every episode. Corey Kispert was great. I think he had finished with 9 points, maybe. Yeah, I think nine. Didn't play much in the second half, but made a pair of threes. Had a really nice backdoor cut. Again, he's so consistent. He's a great floor spacer. And again, I think he should start. So look, the Wizards were down 9 at half. Not the best showing. The second half was pretty quiet. I mean, the starters barely played. It was really just Holmes and George with some nice lobs. He had a slick no look pass to Keyshawn George under the basket for an easy layup. I think he had, at one point, he played 9 minutes. He had 6 assists. He finished with 10 points, 8 assists in like 15 minutes, which is phenomenal. He almost had a double double in 15 minutes of play. So I was really impressed with Jared Butler. I've always liked him. I said they should have signed him when, even before they did in Summer League. I've been on this, and it's nice to see it's kind of paying dividends because I thought he was really good in Brooklyn. But look, the second half, Wizards just kind of imploded. They lost by 39, I think. Yeah, 39, 131 to 92. Excuse me. Bagley had 10 points, 8 rebounds. Like I said, he played great. Butler with 10 points, 8 assists. Carrington finished with 8 points and 5 rebounds. Poole had 13. Look, Kyle Kuzma, and I don't want to be too negative here, but I've seen the tide kind of turn. I mean, look, every time I feel like I post anything about this team, I get comments like, I want Kyle Kuzma off the team. Kyle Kuzma should be traded. Kyle Kuzma looks like he doesn't want to be there. And again, like, I can't, how do I phrase this the best way? I can't fault Wizards fans for thinking that way because I've mentioned it as well. Like he kind of seems like he doesn't want to be here. And you never want to assume, but at the same time, it's like there's guys fighting for their NBA lives, for their roster spots here. And that juxtaposed, side by side with the effort that you're seeing from Kuz, the missed shots, the air balls, it just seems like he doesn't have his legs. It seems like he's not as locked in as he should be. And it seems like he's really rusty and kind of using the preseason to knock that rust off instead of using the preseason to tune up for the season. And so, obviously, not the best showing. He had a 22 points in the third game, but before that, he was 2 of 11 entering that game. Against Brooklyn on Monday, he had 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Was 3 of 12 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3, had 3 turnovers, and was a minus 18. Like, that's not good. And the minus is, like, understandable, I guess, because Poole was minus 20, Carrington minus 23, Kispert minus 18, Bagley plus 4, only starter and plus, I'll say that. But again, Kyle Kuzma doesn't look good. He hasn't really looked good all preseason, and I think Wizards fans are starting to turn. Look, I'm not. I've seen a lot of people like he doesn't want to be here. Kyle Kuzma wants to be here. Kyle Kuzma's, giving it his all, but it doesn't seem that way, obviously. And so I don't fault Wizards fans for thinking that, for being frustrated, because the most frustrated, and I've said this throughout the entire rebuild, The most frustrating thing about this rebuild is going to be the fact that these older, veteran players that you don't think will be here, or that you know won't be here for the duration of the rebuild, are taking up minutes from some of the younger guys. It's so frustrating. You saw it last year. I mean, you had Daniel Gafford, who was starting at center, but you also had some younger guys down low, and they got to sit there and watch, 38-year-old Gallinari, 36-year-old Muscala, play while the younger guys sit. You got to watch Landry Shamet take minutes from Bilal Coulibaly. Like, that is inherently frustrating, and it's going to continue, to occur. And I think Kuzma's now that veteran on the team. And so when you look at Keyshawn George playing as well as he is, Bob Carrington playing well, you have Alex Sarr, you have guys like, Patrick Baldwin Jr. that could be something. And you got Kyle Kuzma out here making $23 million, probably won't be here for the duration of this rebuild, not playing well either. And he's taking up a large chunk of not only the minutes, but the shots as well from these guys. It's not that fun to watch him. And I think with the introduction of these rookies, of these younger guys, fans are starting to kind of get, restless with the fact that they want to see these guys, these younger guys play, and instead they got to watch Kyle Kuzma, shoot 20 times and make six and turn the ball over and not play the best defense. And so I think that's where the frustration's going, and I think it's based. I think it makes sense for Wizards fans to start kind of getting a little frustrated, especially with the way he's been playing. He's not been helping his, his case at all. So, not the best showing from him. But that was a pretty lopsided loss. The Wizards are now 1-3 in the preseason. They have one more game. I believe it's at, I think it's at home. I think it's at home against the Knicks. I know it's at home against the Knicks, and I think that's this Friday. And then after that, they pretty much got a week to rest up, and then they got, the regular season that starts on Thursday, October 24th. They're home against Boston. I say home. It's going to be probably a Boston home game, so technically like a neutral site slash road game for the Wizards, but still pretty exciting stuff. Season's coming up. I'm intrigued to see what Brian Keefe elects to do with the starting five. Again, I mentioned I think my ideal starting five in terms of spacing, defense, shot creation, all that together would be Poole, Kispert, Coulibaly, Kuzma, and Sarr. But what I think is going to happen is Poole. I mean, Poole definitely starts, but I think JV is going to start. I think maybe you'll put Sarr at the four, Kuz at the three, and Bilal at the two. I don't know what Keith's thinking, but I think he's going to start JV. And then if that's the case, do you really put Sarr off the bench with how well he's played? I don't know. But again, that wouldn't be my ideal starting five. You know who I would rather start. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Talked about the last two preseason games. I don't think I'm going to do a pod after the Knicks game. I feel like most of that's going to be, the starters probably won't play. It's going to be a bunch of the end of bench guys, and I don't think anybody wants to listen to a 15 to 20 minute pod of me talking about why I think, Jared Butler Jr. should have a role in this team, or why PBJ has kind of, come alive in the preseason. I don't think anybody really wants to listen to that. So I'm instead going to delay it. This is going to be the last episode for maybe a week, and then I'm going to have my bro come on for next episode for, something I'm really excited about. We're going to do a huge Wizards season preview. We're going to talk about expectations, starting lineups, rotations, trades at the February deadline, who's here by the end of the season, extensions coming up for Corey Kispert. All of that and more is going to be in that. It's probably going to be a more lengthy episode, but I'm really excited for that. I'll probably have that posted next Monday to get you ready for the season. And then, obviously the season starts on Thursday, the 24th. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate all you guys for listening. Go Wiz.